Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, dear Kelly?
I'm very excited about today. I can't take it. I'm really excited. I'm not going to lie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, nothing eventful. Some crazy stories about my kids, but what else is new?
So my seal, pup number 158, is still thriving, but had a little bit of a glucose issue, but I rescued a seal, for those of you who didn't
Deborah
hear that.
Dr. Deborah rescued a seal.
Helped
How cool
rescue.
Is that? Yes. Incredible.
So we get updates, and it's very exciting.
So cool. Wait, did you name... Did you? Oh, you did name
Peaches.
It. Peaches. Peach is so cute. So cute.
She is so cute.
Oh, so that's great.
We're still praying for Peachy or Peaches. We're not sure whether we want to call her Peaches or Peachy. She's just so darn cute, though.
Well, so I guess we should talk quickly about our guest from last week, and then we'll pour into our exciting show for today.
Yes, and first we'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Kim Gold, the author of the business memoir Gold Standard, How to Rock the World and Run an Empire. The book is called A Front Row Seat to a Huge Upheaval, not only in her own life, but in American business as it comes to grips. I can't even speak today. I'm so excited. With the kind of woman who is here to change the game. So very... Very thankful cool. for
Thank
Kim.
You, Kim.
Yay. Yes, so it was your friend.
Yes, last week really, really neat. So we had Linda Powers Levitin, who basically, really cool. She specializes in gifted and creative children, adults, and families. And she wrote the book, Peace Within, Peace Between, Your Relationship Toolkit. And it was just a really cool segment on kind of how people learn and different learning ways. She talked about some people are tactile, meaning they, you know, they have to feel to kind of learn, or they're more physical. Some people are more visual, kind of like I am. They need to kind of see the big picture. And some people are audio.
I had no idea that I was such a tactile, kinesthetic
learner.
Yeah, that's why I touch everything wherever
so
I go.
Interesting.
I want to touch the blanket. I want to touch the candles. I want to touch everything.
Yeah. No, but that's how you get the input. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. So I thought that was really cool.
Makes it
really
real. Yeah. Awesome. All right. I can't
No, no further
myself.
Ado.
No. Okay. Here we
All
go.
Right. So do you want to do the intro or should I?
Well, I think you can speak better than I can today.
All right. We are super, super, super excited. This week, we have Tito Jackson's son and the nephew of the famed Jackson 5. We have Taj, Terrell, and TJ. So the siblings, known as the musical group 3T, have toured and sold more than 3 million records. Can we just pause? That's incredible. Just off their debut album. In August of 1994, when Taj, Terrell, and TJ were busy working on their debut album in the studio, their mom, Dee Dee, was tragically murdered. This sudden loss left the brothers heartbroken, shaken, and personally traumatized. They were on the Lifetime show The Jacksons Next Generation and have created the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, which helps lesser-known, underfunded, and overlooked organizations who are helping children cope, heal, and get the tools and support needed to thrive academically, professionally, and personally. So welcome, Taj, Terrell, and TJ.
Hey.
Welcome. Hey.
Thanks for having us.
In unison.
I know, exactly.
Hey.
So cool.
And they all have such white teeth.
Yeah, our mother made us brush our teeth.
They do.
Twice a day.
Oh my God! Yes. What is the secret?
Sparkling.
No, seriously,
you have to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
But so do I. But mine are like banana yellow.
Yeah.
You guys
are
what,
like
too? When you drink a soda like a Coke, make sure you use a straw.
Oh, that's true.
That's another
I like
secret.
It.
But even better, don't drink soda.
No, I don't. But you know what? Maybe it's the tea. It stains it. But wow,
tea?
That's
oh,
such a
yeah,
good...
we both drink a
yes,
lot of
I
tea.
Yes, I love tea.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is yummy.
Cool.
Yummy.
All
oh,
right,
my gosh.
So, but...
You guys, thank you so much for being here and taking the time. And
thanks,
I know we want to both have the lighthearted and funness of all of your personalities, but also be able to talk some about some of the loss and the tragedy and the experience of grieving and all of that, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think also to begin, for our listeners, if you can state who you are, and I was hoping that maybe you could describe one word that's kind of you, the essence of you. And no pressure, but,
not
you know,
being
just
put on the spot here
exactly.
at all.
And then also your age, just so our audience knows a little bit more about you.
Okay, I'll start. I'm Taj. Mm-hmm. I'm the eldest. I'm 42.
Yes,
God,
that is correct.
No way.
You look so young.
I don't like remembering my age, but yeah, I'm 42.
Oh my God.
Gosh, one word. I'm optimistic.
I could see that.
Optimistic.
Totally.
I like that word. Uh-huh. Optimistic.
Okay.
Okay. I'm Terrell. Uh-huh. I'm the middle brother, and I am 40. And I guess one word is dreamer.
Oh, I Ooh, like that. That's nice.
Wonderful.
I am TJ. I am 37, the youngest of the crew. Uh-huh. And one word.
I know, it's so hard.
That's his word right there. Word. How are you going to narrow me down?
That's his
word.
One word. That was it right there. Sigh.
I don't want to say.
Totally awesome.
Undecisive.
Yeah, undecisive. I'll just go with that. I really don't know. I'm sorry.
No, but that's great. I love it. That's so, and I can't believe how young you guys are. Like, I mean, you look so young. It's so cool. White teeth and young. Love it.
I do. I know.
I'm not kidding. All right, so cool. All right, well, let's, I guess, dive in. We have so many questions for you.
Well, so what are you all doing with your lives today? Why don't we just start with that?
Today? You got me on a tough day. My day is just busy, just quite busy. I'm the one with the most kids, so I'm the one who's running around crazy.
Oh, really?
With my mind in other
How many?
Places. I have four of my own.
Oh, wow.
And then two adult stepchildren, and then my grandma and I, co-guardians of my uncle's kids. So that's three. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's hard, but I'm little all over the place. So that's where what my day is like even already.
Sure.
And you made it in studio anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little late though.
Yeah, right? It's okay. Fashionably
late.
By
the buzzer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, me. I'm trying to get back into shape.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get the heart, you know, going.
Cool.
So this morning, actually I started this week really trying to move more.
Uh-huh.
And I got my Fitbit.
Woohoo, Fitbit.
I'm at 14,000 steps already.
Good. That's nice. Nice. Great job.
You know. I'm trying.
God,
I'm competing
good.
With my friend in Dallas,
Jason. What did you do for 14?
I did run. I ran.
Good. Well, wow, that's
I jogged
amazing.
And I walked.
That's good.
I'm not at a running point yet.
But, that's about 6 miles already. You've
yeah.
run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Beautiful, awesome.
Man. It's good. So
it's great.
I'm moving.
Okay.
I love when the Fitbits like send you the like, oh, you got the badge. Like it, you do feel really good. I don't know if you get the emails, but like they're like so cheesy, but you feel really good. You're like, oh, I got the badge of honor, or like whatever
I
it is.
I walked the length of India.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Shut up. Of course you did. That's so you. Oh my God. I was like excited, but like one flight of stairs and you like went to India.
Okay.
What about you, Tosh?
That's a good question. I'm constantly busy, but I have a lot of stuff going on in terms of projects, but not one in particular is taking up my time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't talk about a lot of them because they're still top secret.
Sure.
Under wrap.
Yeah.
People will hear about them soon, and I'm excited.
Cool. Very That's awesome. Good. And do you are you the only one with kids? No. Do you guys?
No, I don't have. I'm the only one that doesn't have kids.
Oh,
I
really?
Have two.
Okay. Oh, that's so awesome. Right. Okay, cool. Do you want mine, by the way? They're totally, they're a handful.
Yes, Kelly would be happy to.
Oh my God, they're two boys and they're crazy.
Yeah, you heard boys.
What's the age?
Oh my God, ages. 6.5 and 3.5. And they're like so cute. They like deceive you because they're like, oh, cute. And then they're like wild and nuts.
They're great.
How old are yours?
8 and 5.
Oh, so yeah.
5-year-old and a 5-year-old.
But I feel like you're like over the hump, right? Like, did you feel like at like, no, there's still a lot?
You know, it's sad for me. Obviously, TJ has children too. And I look at my younger nephew who's now 16 and it's really sad. We play basketball and I remember sitting in the parking lot and I was with my kids and all of a sudden a car pulls next to me and I look over and it's him driving and it freaked me out.
Yeah.
I'm like, where does the time go? So
oh, wow.
now I look at my 8 and 5-year-old and it's like they're getting out of that baby thing.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's tough, you
know,
because you want to keep them so young. But again, there's more things coming.
Right.
You know, they're playing baseball and we're having fun with that, but they're not that.
Your Tarot coaches.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Which sport?
I coach baseball. I coach my 8-year-old's team, and I coach my 5-year-old's team, which is an adventure.
Oh, I can imagine. You have to have patience, right?
Yes, like, Yes, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to have a lot of patience, but it's fun. You know, I remember my father coaching us when we were younger, and, you know, he was quite busy touring, but I think for the three of us, that's one of the memories. I mean, besides working with us in our group, but we remember him coaching and teaching us that game, and you know, we went to the Dodger games and things like that. So baseball has been very big in our family.
That's so sweet.
So I'm kind of doing the same thing with my kids.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So tell us some about the Didi Foundation.
Taj?
the D.E. Jackson Foundation. It was something that we felt that we've always wanted to do a foundation in honor of our mom. We knew that it would take a lot of work just because of the scrutiny of the family name as well. A lot of people would be skeptical of it, even though our family has always been known to be charitable.
Yeah.
And so we grew up watching our dad and our uncles and our aunts give to charities and to, you know, visit hospitals all over the world and stuff like that. So it's kind of part of our DNA in a way. We felt like if we don't do something, we're kind of like, you know, we haven't done what we're supposed to be doing in this world. So it's very important to us. We're very passionate about it. But at the same time, I mean, I think the world needs it. So it came at a time that, I don't know, it's, I don't want to get sentimental or anything, but it's just, it's something that is very dear to our hearts. And our mom, you know, that she taught us that and taught us that importance. And for me, it's like, I feel like it's a part of her in a way, and it's to keep her legacy alive as well.
Sweet. Can you, are you comfortable talking about kind of what happened, everything for our listeners?
Yeah. I was 16. And I, you know, what's crazy is that I was having like bad dreams leading up to what happened. And I just remember being woken up, I think by Taj, and basically saying, we have to go, we have to go. And it was probably 3 in the morning and we had to go to a hospital in LA because, I guess he got word that our mother, something happened to our mother. So I remember going to the hospital and being, you know, put into a separate room where the doctor had told us our mother had, is no longer with us. And it's a crazy moment because it's like, you know, and I think that's one reason why we had to do this foundation and do it for kids and for people who've lost someone dear to their heart is because when that happens, you really lose a sense of life and you lose a kind of a big purpose. And our mother was everything to us. So we were fortunate to have family to help and friends to help us rebound. But there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that same support system. And that's what we're trying to do with the D.D. Jackson Foundation is supply that support system for kids around the world.
So beautiful. What a gift.
Really. I'm curious, like, what was the first thought that ran through each of your minds when you heard this news?
You know, for me, when I was there, it already felt off, you know, from everything, from my brother waking me up to the ride there was quiet, to the hotel seemed cold, or I'm sorry, the hospital seemed cold. It just kind of, you knew what what was going to happen. And then when you get the confirmation, you know, you're just lost. I think that's the best word to describe it, is just completely lost and desensitized to life. And it's tough. It's not an easy road. It's one that, you know, I think it's a very lonely road. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but kids go through this every, you know, every minute, every second. And and it's something that I think we as a society could do a better job of helping them recover and rebuild.
And children grieve so differently than adults, and adults are oftentimes imposing their own version of grieving or not grieving, right?
I think a lot of the times, too, adults feel helpless, like the parents feel helpless because they don't know how to help their child deal with it. And every child deals with it differently. I think just having that surrounding, we had family and friends, but I found myself personally connecting more with kids that had lost a parent as well, because now we were all in the same boat in a way. And these were people that I normally wasn't friends with, but for some reason they kind of felt my grief and they identified with it and they knew they had gone through it themselves. So it's weird how it works out that way. But
Do each of you possibly remember some phrase or something that somebody said to you that was really helpful, like some seed that just said, that really resonates with me?
I definitely do. When my mother passed, and it was the same morning, we went back to the house. Our father had lived several, you know, good 3 hours away or 2 hours away. And my Uncle Jermaine was the first one family member that was there. And I tell him this, and I tell his kids this to the day, that he gave me the most important hug you know, and it was just a hug, a strong, loving, long hug to tell me that everything's going to be okay. And it was just an important hug. Mm. And that hug, you know, you didn't have to say anything. It was just, that was the moment where, you know, that, I don't know. It was just a huge,
almost like breathing life back into you. Right?
I tell him that all the time. I don't think he realizes that, or he may not even remember it, but I sure do.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. So sweet. Mm.
How about you two, Terrell or Tosh?
I remember, because we went back to the Havenhurst house, and I just remember sitting on the couch. I just felt everything was just numb. Mm-hmm. You know, there's disbelief. And I just remember this little boy, a family friend's son, came up to me and said, "My mother's not gone." And he said, "She's here." And he pointed to my heart. And aww. I was so shocked that a little kid, he was no more than 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I remember that.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, oh, very sweet.
I don't really remember. Yeah. I think I was numb to everything. Uh-huh. I do remember. I remember the support. I remember who was there.
Yeah.
In terms of some friends that, you know, necessarily weren't even our friends were there, you know, that, but they, you know, and that kind of surprised me as well. It's like the support that we got from all over, and it was, you feel that, you feel that love.
Sure. I mean, I'm hearing so much sadness. Was there anger about this, that this had happened, and did that come out in any way?
Yeah. For me, I think you guys were already at school. In college, so I lived at the house, and I remember not caring too much about the guy my mother was dating, the one who's actually just last week we were at a parole hearing.
Oh wow!
For him, you know, to keep him in jail, and but I remember not really caring for him. So when it happened, it was kind of like, you know, everything kind of made sense in a way. But yeah, there was anger, and for us, you know, being Jackson's. It was all over the news, you know, and there was a mystery behind it, and it was the first time someone had lost their life in our family. So I think it was Hard Copy at the time, and I forget the other shows, but those shows were you know, replaying it over and over. So there was, and it was on the radio, so there was really no escape for us.
They're also so brutal and insensitive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Yeah.
Just horrible.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it was tough, but, you know, I think to be honest, I think the pain of losing your parent just overcomes all of that. You know, they could say whatever they want or assume whatever. For me, I lost my mother, and overcame everything. So, I don't know. It was tough.
There's a lot of disbelief for me. Shortly after, my brothers and I, my Uncle Michael was in New York recording an album, and we went. He wanted us to be with him, so. We flew there, and I remember in the car in New York, I was looking for my mom still, still thinking maybe there's a chance it was a mistake, and, you know, all these people walking the streets of New York, and I was still looking for her, you know.
Sure.
You know what? I'm going to agree on that, because there was a good year to 2 year period where you'd wake up and think it was just a bad dream,
imagine.
You know, somehow she's going to mysteriously appear.
Sure.
And then, you know, probably a good 2 to 3 years, you think maybe they made a mistake or so. I agree with that.
What a beautiful way to give back, to do this organization, really. And so are you guys pretty hands-on with it? Like, are you meeting the kids and everything? And
very much.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Very much.
Yeah. We grew up watching my uncle, Michael, be hands-on in terms of with going to hospitals and stuff like that. So that's the best way to do it. You affect people's lives and for the better in that way.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's easy to slap your name on something. It's easier to say, you know, give words, but it's, you know, to go there and to really make a difference. That's the important part.
I think also that's why now's the time, you know, to do this foundation is because we can give 100% of ourselves to it. You know, we're all in our later 30s. I'm not going to mention, even though you did, Taj. I'll keep you in our 30s. Bracket.
That's funny.
Yeah, you'll be there soon.
But, you know, we're at a point in our lives where we can do it hands on and understand every little detail about it. And that's why now's the time.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So touching. You know, I lost my mom suddenly. I wasn't as young as the three of you, but I was 30, mm-hmm. and because it was sudden, it was so profoundly shocking. Mm-hmm. I mean, she hadn't even been really sick at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? What? Yeah. And it took years and years to mm-hmm.
yeah.
to sort of make peace with that. So I can only imagine at your ages how just powerfully yeah. impactful that was.
Mm-hmm. It was tough. Yeah. I mean, it still is tough. I think for me with the kids, that's one of the harder moments is, you know, simple, like all my good friends are having kids now, and they have their mother, you know, that can watch the kids or to even give them great wisdom or, you know, and that's something that it's another level of grief that I'm still trying to overcome and deal with is that my kids lost an incredible grandmother,
sure.
you know, that could have taught them and showed them so many things that I may be missing.
Sure.
So it never gets easy.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys got really close throughout this. Was it always like that, or were there periods of separation between you guys where you needed some time? Or
I think, well, we've always been close. Mm-hmm. That's something our parents always, you know, taught us, that we're going to need each other, mm-hmm. you know, especially in the family we grew up in. So we were always close. And I think in ways it brought us closer, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I think we all dealt with it differently. Mm. So there was little mm-hmm. moments when we were apart from each other, but always talking to each other. But we've always been close.
That's so nice.
What was the line? Who said this? If you can't be brothers first, there's no...
3T.
3T.
Yeah, that's love that.
That's our mother, yeah.
That was from your mom. Mother.
Brothers
so
first. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet.
I love that you guys are all so close, because I have two boys, and to see this, you know, that you guys, it's just so special. It's really sweet. Really, really sweet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think is maybe the most misguided information that's out in the world about you and your family?
Aside from everything. Honestly, I'd say 80% of what's reported or what's assumed to be the truth is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new article, I think, yesterday that I was looking at, and literally it's like, how do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah.
It's so far from the truth. I think, Taj, you want to answer? Because you usually take this question.
No. You mean I wasn't unique in asking it?
No, you were doing a good job. But it's so... we're so numb to it now, unfortunately. But it's so overwhelming at the same time, because the internet makes it where the world's so small now. Like, so someone takes a story that's not true and they reprint it, or they post it on a blog or something. It goes around the world. So even if it's a tabloid that starts the story, by the time it goes around, major, you know, publications are picking it up.
Yeah.
And then they hide behind it. They're like, well, we're just reprinting what this person said. So I've been fighting some of them, you know, fighting some of the publications to... Mm-hmm. It's like putting out fires when another one comes up. It's just...
It's
tough.
And what makes it retweetable or spread faster is the sensationalism of it.
Sure.
So the craziness of it. So it's like there's an incentive to be crazier with what they're saying.
Sure.
To make it go around faster. So it's a vicious type of thing.
I think the hardest thing is that we see it and we know it's stupid and ridiculous. But the scary thing is there's people out there that believe it.
Right.
Yes.
You know, they believe it. And there's a lot of them that do.
Yes.
And it's like Taj was saying, you have to get out there and fight it.
Yes.
As best as you can. You can't obviously fight them all, but people really believe that. And it's sad.
Well, it's scary in general. I have a family member, I'm not going to say who, like a distant family, who said, oh, did you see that video on YouTube? Michelle Obama is really a man.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yes, I swear to God, I'm not kidding. He's like, his real name is Michael, and he's really a man. And you can see Obama calling her Michael, like all this stuff. And it was like, you know, it's just crazy. But I think, I wonder if people just, you know, it's like there's nothing else going on in their life. And this is the most exciting thing. And then they feel important by telling somebody else this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, how often do you see in the tabloids the same couple breaking up and getting back together and breaking up and getting back together, and how many children they have and don't have are supposed to have? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But that is
hard. It's true. A lot of people don't laugh at it and know that it's ridiculous. People do believe it. That's really, I know, as a human, it's just hard when people look at you and see a lie that's not true. And no matter what you say, they're going to still believe the lie because it was said first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, you look defensive.
Exactly.
Well, there used to also be avenues where the truth was told. You know, now it's like because of ratings, even those channels that you really would look to for the truth, they're in the ratings game now, and they're you know, sensationalizing stuff when. So it's really hard. There used to be a checks and balances, and it was all about getting the truth out there. Now it's just about the ratings.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's terrifying. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys sound really grounded despite all that, though. Do you know what I mean? Really, you do. I mean, it's you guys are all, you know, sound real stable and great, you know, despite all that. So,
it's our family. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect example. Is I think there's a perception our family's kind of all over the place and... Or maybe not, but our family's very humble, and they're very grounded and very simple.
Yeah.
I think that's a good adjective.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember having amazing pillow fights with my uncle and, you know, and
water balloon fights.
And going to ice cream.
Water balloon fights.
Water balloon fights.
Those are cool. You know, having ice cream with my aunts and stuff. So we're just like everyone else.
Sure.
It's all about the simple thing. That's the best things in life.
When you all show up at a family reunion, how many of you are there?
Oh, man.
Hundreds?
It depends.
Oh, really? Feels like that big?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, generationally, right?
I would say about 50.
Yeah, okay.
50 to 60, yeah.
That's just my father's side, you know, because then our mother's side, there's a decent amount,
there's a decent
too.
Amount
but
on,
on our father's side, it's probably a good 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And expanding.
And expanding.
Yeah, exactly.
And expanding. Yeah.
That's incredible. Do you guys want more kids? Is that what's, are you thinking about it?
I wouldn't mind.
Aww.
I wouldn't mind. I got my two boys, so
right.
I can mix in a girl now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I would have been a little bit scared if I started off with two girls. Nothing against girls, but
sure.
I know they're harder to handle.
But you know girls boys. Yeah.
It is the best thing that can ever happen to a man, though, is to have two girls.
I agree.
I have to tell you.
I have two girls.
Yeah.
So I'm
going
to agree completely with what you said.
But
yes.
You start off with the boy.
I start off with the boy. Well, I start off with a girl and a boy stepchildren, but... they're adults now, but then I had a boy who's 16, Terrell was referring to, and then the two girls, and I was terrified of girls because we grew up as
we're
three
scary.
Brothers.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
brothers.
They are.
On the, you know, we grew up on the baseball field, on the basketball court,
yeah.
So, and really all my friends, their sisters were always the ones that were kind of giving their parents trouble. So I was like, I don't want a daughter. I don't want a daughter. And then when I had my girls, like, oh, this is amazing.
And
for now.
Exactly, until they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it softens your heart a little bit.
Yeah, and girls care on a different level as babies. They do different things. You know, if I stub my toe, I remember I stubbed my toe, and my daughter was like, "Are you okay?" And she's like going to get ice. And meanwhile, my son would be laughing.
You know? Exactly. Pointing at you, dust cap hat.
Toughen up, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So it's sweet. It's sweet.
Oh, how do your kids get along?
They're good. They don't really have a choice. They have to get along.
Of course.
But they're good. They look after each other, which is something, you know, my wife and I are really strong about.
That's
is
so
taking
sweet.
Care of your siblings.
Sure.
So
nice.
And they do a good job with that.
So and nice. Taj, are there any thoughts of children?
Yeah, I'm strategically waiting for two daughters to get babysitting.
That's
so
smart.
I'm kind of mapping it out.
I like that plan.
Yeah.
So when my kid is 3 years old or 2 years old, they'll be babysitting. So
perfect.
I got a couple
exactly.
more years before that happens.
Yeah.
And do you all live in close proximity to one another?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
that
great.
Always helps.
I could
yeah.
throw a rock to Taj's house, so we're very close.
Oh, that's
I
so
love
nice.
That too, yeah.
Have you thrown a rock to Taj's
house? Yeah, exactly.
I probably can.
How often do you guys see each other, would you say?
Well, we're playing in a basketball league now.
Oh, cool.
And then we, you know, I'd say 3 times a week outside of that. So I'd say about 4 times a week.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, when we're on the road, it's
every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we see each other a lot. We see each other. In a way, we're all each other have, so.
Sure. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I shouldn't say it like that, but I think you know.
No, I totally get it. There's something about siblings. It's so funny because my husband is an only child, and he once heard me and my brother fighting, and he's like, oh, my God. I'm like, but there's something about siblings. Like, you just know each other so well. You know how to push each other's buttons. Mm-hmm. You love each other in a deeper way. It's really
absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
You know
fire.
What I mean? Yes, fire is the word. Exactly.
Yeah. It's important, and for parents out there, make sure you implement that.
Yes,
your kids are united, and they're going to fight. Everyone fights, but you know there's got to be a strong love that's developed. You know, because as they get older, they're gonna want that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys always this close, or was it? Did you get closer as time went on?
No, I think we were pretty much
That's amazing.
The whole
yeah.
way.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
Sports helped a lot, too.
That's great.
Because we'd always play on each other's teams, so that helped a lot.
Sure.
And this one was always trying to hang with us.
because there's an age difference between... Yeah,
that was the tag-along.
Yeah, right. we were brought up to protect each other as well. I would get more in trouble for not sticking up for them than whether they were right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
So my mom would say, you know, like, so that was the thing for me as an older brother. It's like, protect your brothers.
That's so sweet.
So did you feel a greater sense of protection after your mom died to take care of your siblings, your brothers?
My mom would always tell me, because my mom and dad got divorced at when I was still a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, she'd always say, you're the man of the house now. And she'd always say that to me. And so when she passed, that went into effect like immediately. So I always felt like very protective of them, but also felt like I had to make sure that they were okay before I was okay. So I grieved with it different. I don't think I've really dealt with my mom's loss yet in terms of how I should have. I still haven't cried about it, which everyone does it differently.
Sure.
So I know that's not, you know, there's no right or wrong way, but I still haven't cried, you know, and I don't know if I ever will because I didn't have the time to do it back then. So, but that's, you know, I wanted to make sure that they were okay. And if they were okay, I was okay. That's how I looked at it.
Do you ever find yourself, though, crying maybe more deeply in a movie or something that might be related?
I definitely, well, I'm a sucker for parent, like, I cried at Hoosiers, which is really weird. But it's because there's a part where but it's different ways. Like it's a parent son relationship. Like the dad and the son had a relationship where the dad was a mess up and the son was proud of him.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to spoil the movie, but
yeah,
you know. So it's stuff like that where parent, you know, like the kid does something that
role reversal
in a way. It's weird things that catch me off guard, you know, but it is that parent.
But that may be your way of grieving, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I love movies for that reason, yeah. So it's not, it's just, I don't grieve the traditional way.
Hey, I grieved in Alvin and the I cried in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
which one, the Chip Road? Or is that
all of them. Are you serious? That's so funny, really?
put me in a children's movie somewhere,
and
I am sobbing every time.
That's so
funny. My daughter, when she was young, she's like, Mom, what are you doing? I don't know. Obviously, there's stuff I need to
grieve. Exactly.
You need to get. Yeah.
It
is so what we do. Actually, Kelly and I had a guest on our show a while back, the Grief Recovery Institute, which is actually right next door. And they have a really beautiful book called
The Grief Recovery Handbook.
The Grief Recovery Handbook.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they also have another one called When Children Grieve. That's a useful resource. Okay. So
if a pet dies,
because
like everybody knows, my dog is like came out of my vagina.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to say it. Yes. And so I already bought the book.
Or, you know what? If you say it one more time, we're going to lose listeners. So
it's probably true.
That imagery is now indelible in our listeners' minds. Kelly had a dog come out of her vagina.
I'm not kidding. God. So we have a call actually.
Oh,
if we want to take this, yeah, let's see. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and therapist Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to comment on 3T, if I could.
Sure.
I wanted to know if they're going to be having any shows coming up for their new album they're going to be performing.
We have some shows planned. We're working on some shows, but as of now, they're all international. In Europe.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know what, they'll stay. If you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, we'll announce it hopefully shortly. But we do intend to eventually, you know, start touring in the US again quickly. So hopefully it'll be sooner than later.
Sound okay, good? Awesome.
Yeah.
It's great to talk to you guys.
And in a couple minutes we're gonna play one of their songs. So keep listening for the rest of the show.
Oh, okay. Great.
Thanks so
much.
Take care,
Michelle.
Bye. Will Kelly and I get free tickets?
Oh.
Look at her. She's already.
Yes.
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 It was so
front
funny.
Row center.
Wait, do you guys have like groupies? Like I just thought about that. Do you guys have like people? Yes.
Not as much anymore.
Uh-huh.
But when we were younger,
uh-huh.
especially in Europe.
That is so funny.
We had a pretty big... Yeah.
That's so... Was it, like, uncomfortable? Like, you... Or was it, like, kind of cool?
It was... I think we were so used to our uncle uh-huh. and seeing and our uncles and seeing, you know, the fans around them
yeah.
that we never really felt like it was abnormal or mm-hmm. different.
Sure.
So we never really had that mindset yeah. going in.
Yeah.
And it's all about love in a way. They just love you. And mm-hmm. you know, we saw that with our uncle, how much he loved his fans and mm-hmm. how much they loved him back. So
yep.
for us, it felt comforting
yes.
in a way
yes.
because you know, they appreciate your music and your music affects them and sure. they affect you. So
yeah.
it's that relationship. It's hard to call them groupies in a way because that's kind of, no, yeah, for yeah. us, but
sure.
just for us, but because I look at them more than
just
that.
Just like fans.
Yeah.
Oh, we have another call actually too. Wow, this right. is great.
Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Debra and
Hi.
Therapist Kelly.
Oh my God, can I speak to Tyrell?
You are speaking.
Tyrell, I love you so much.
Hi, how are you?
Oh my God, this is hilarious.
I've been a fan since I was 13 and I'm 36. This is Deidre Williams.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I never thought I'd talk to you because I'm an American fan.
Well, it's great to hear your voice.
It is.
Like a dream come true. I love you
great.
So much.
Oh,
I love you too. Thank you for
so
everything.
Touching.
So touching.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Oh.
Take care
All right.
of yourself.
Hi, Chadia. Hi, TJ.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm nervous. I'm shaking.
Oh, you're doing fine.
Okay. I don't want to seem like a dork.
No, you're good.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you called.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So will this show be recorded?
Yes, it's live.
Yes, it's live now.
You can hear yourself.
Listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher anytime after today.
Okay. Oh, thank goodness. Because I want to replay Tyrell saying hi to me.
Say hi again, Tyrell.
Exactly.
I love you. Thank you for everything.
Do it in this dark, uh-huh. deep, sexy voice.
Oh, God.
No, that's Taj's voice.
Oh, she's cracking up.
Okay, now I can die happy woman. Thank
you. Oh, no, you stick around. You have a good life.
Yes.
All right, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who is she in reference to you? A friend or just a nobody? You're a groupie. We were talking about groupies. There you go.
But they don't want to use that term. Just a fan. You're a fan.
A fan.
So we want to talk about this digital fundraiser.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Can you guys tell us a little bit about that?
Our mother's birthday was April 1st.
Yes.
So that was the official launch of this digital fundraiser we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's on our Facebook, on the charity Facebook page, DD Jackson Foundation, on the Twitter, DDJ Foundation. But basically, anyone who wants to help the foundation, it's a 501c.
Cool.
To help our cause in helping kids around the world deal mm-hmm. with grief. Even if it's a dollar, whatever you can to help support sure. them, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Sure. And can people volunteer also?
Oh, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's part of the message as well, because some people can't afford to
sure.
to give, but mm-hmm. you can give by spreading the word as well. And mm-hmm. or just helping out, you know, that's also the message
sure.
as well.
And so are you located just within Los Angeles, or is it like there are different centers?
No, we just started in
okay.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, we have two foundations we're supporting.
Great.
The Boys and Girls Club in Watts,
uh-huh.
as well as Comfort Zone Camps,
which is a really good
which is something
camp.
We're launching. Cool. It's an amazing camp where basically kids who can't afford uh-huh. or can come to the camp and basically deal with any grieving that they need.
Oh, great.
Basically, as it sounds, comforting them.
Yeah.
Dealing with losses.
That's great.
And then we're figuring out a third foundation.
It's our first year, so
yeah,
right.
So.
Oh, well, you've done a lot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
We've been working on this for a good 6 months, and we're just waiting for that last third one to make a strong impact for the kids. So
that's fabulous.
But our foundation, we're trying to raise $61,000 because our mother would be 61
mm-hmm. oh,
this year
sweet.
On April 1st, and
uh-huh.
And we're doing pretty well so far, so
yeah.
we can always
great.
Use more help, though.
Yes.
So
yes.
if you can.
Oh,
and
we will spread the word for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll put it
so
on
where,
Twitter.
So say exactly what people would look for this.
I'm sorry?
For the
people want to donate, just say,
yes,
what, it's say again what
DD Jackson Foundation is the Facebook.
Okay.
It's DDJ Foundation on Twitter, I believe. What are you going to say?
And then it's ddjf.org on the website.
Yeah, if you want to just go to the website, you can do that too.
Okay.
Now, when did the three of you start doing music together?
Oh, wow.
Since I can remember.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think just watching our uncles perform.
So before your mom passed, you were already...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you have like a garage band or did you have a producer?
We just wanted to be like our uncles. Yeah. So we started way back, you know.
I think since I was in diapers.
Yeah. You were in,
really?
You were in diapers.
Yeah, it was.
That's so cute.
We have footage. But
they used you as the drum set. Right?
Yeah, well, exactly. They're older than me, so they got on the guitar and the piano, and there's like, I wanted to play one of those instruments. They're like, no, we need a drummer, so get over there. So, yeah, I'm playing drums in my underwear.
So cute.
So cute.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've been a band since then.
Yeah.
And, you know, writing and producing. Our family always, you know, tried to instill in us the importance of writing your own music and producing.
Beautiful.
So it's something we've always done.
Our father always had music equipment around the house, microphones, piano, guitar, all its keyboards, and we used to take it.
Who's the biggest ham?
We used to steal them.
Biggest ham.
Who's the biggest ham?
I'm not answering that.
No, you know, our father was very understanding back then because I didn't realize till now that I'm older that I was taking, you know, $3,000 pieces of equipment and putting it in our little studio. You know, he would go down to his big studio and it would be missing and he'd come up, but he was cool with it. But I remember some of the music equipment I had in the studio, our studio,
so
and it was like really like legitimate
good stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Like really good stuff. So yeah. I thank Pops for that. You know,
right.
Because that's where it started for us.
Beautiful. I think it's so cool that you all loved music, you know what I mean, and started at such a young age, you know, that's great.
They didn't force it on us either.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. It doesn't seem like that.
I think most kids kind of want to be, in a way, what their father, or what their parents
sure.
are.
Yeah.
And for us, it was the same. You know, we were just little kids kind of backstage watching them perform, you know, like at Dodger Stadium.
And you
it's
saw
like,
the
how
love.
Do you not want to be
you
that?
You saw the love, everybody happy and smiling and cheering, so... You wanted that feeling, you know? So
sure.
it's just natural to put on his costume or anything that had rhinestones on it. You wanted to glitter and shine like they did, you know?
Yeah.
And we that's how we all started.
So speaking of love and music,
I was going
to
say, perfect time to play this. So we're going to introduce your song. It's called Power of Love.
I know we have to make a change somehow, 'cause tomorrow it's not too far away from now. Nothing's impossible. Side. Don't give up. The hope you lost can still be found. 'Cause miracles, they always seem to come around. Come around. When you are weak, I'll lift you when you're feeling down. I'll help when you're in need. And you will see, you'll never have to feel alone. Together we can conquer all, as long as we believe. Have to find a way somehow. We can't turn away,
turn away.
'Cause our chance to change is here and now.
Here and now.
Nothing's impossible.
Cause nothing's impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
We got love by our side. It's by our side. I will be
the strength when you're weak. I'll lift you when you're feeling down.
I'll help when you're in need.
Want to hug everybody.
I know. So beautiful. So you wrote that in honor of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. And with your dad as well, correct?
And, yes, and royals.
And royals.
And your son.
Yes. Oh. It's three generations of us.
Oh.
And
so beautiful.
Yeah, we wrote it in Vegas, actually, and with the intention of, and it's that's the way it is, all of the proceeds for that go to the Dede Jackson Foundation.
That's fantastic. How could you be inspired with such sweetness in Vegas?
Yeah, our father lives in Vegas. So. Yeah, the house in Vegas. So.
We do have more call before we wrap up.
It's got to be very quick.
Yes. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and therapist Kelly.
Yes, hello. This is Steffi from Holland.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for listening.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
We have like a minute. Do you have a question or a comment?
What?
Do you have a question or a comment? We have about a minute left.
Yeah. I have this long life dream of 3T like cooking dinner for me. Is it possible?
Send us an email and we'll pass it along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how good my brothers are going to be in the kitchen. I can hold my own, I think.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
Bye-bye.
So cute. Oh, my gosh. So we got to wrap up.
Yes.
We have about a minute and a half. Oh, my gosh. You guys are so beautiful and so wonderful.
Yes.
My heart feels so much warmer than when I walked in here today.
Me too.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for allowing us to spread the word on our Mother's Foundation.
Absolutely. So promote again.
Dede Jackson Foundation. The song you just heard, Power of Love, all the proceeds go to Dede Jackson Foundation, and then there's our digital fundraiser that we have going on to try to raise money.
Mm-hmm. And you can download the song on iTunes, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. iTunes or Amazon. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. We have to thank our sponsor, Kim Gold, again.
Yes.
Thank you so much for supporting our show and making it possible for us to do so. And next week, please tune in for Dr. Mark Goulston, author of Talking to Crazy.
Oh, it's like talking to you.
It's like talking to me?
Yeah. No, just
That's
kidding.
That's not nice. After all that love.
Yeah, exactly.
See how she is?
Yeah, I know. It's
all right. Everybody have a beautiful day. Thank
Bye-bye.
You again. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.